Radio. Tonight, I have a very
powerful... Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome to Stargazing. This evening, I have a very powerful guest named Melissa Forbes. But first, I want to remind you that after the half hour, we will be taking questions. We will be giving you answers and confirmations, showing you a map, and pointing you in an appropriate direction. The phone number is 646-716-9663. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, Star. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
You're welcome. You and I have connected so deeply in the past before. I'm so glad to have you. Melissa, can you give us a little history about your life and tell us about yourself and your spiritual growth?
I've been a bit of a seeker. I found the yogic path when I was quite young, and I followed it and traveled to India and followed teachers around and studied various aspects of yoga. And one of them was a mandala painting, which is something that I'm really, really fond of, and it's a regular practice that I've been doing, along with asana and pranayama meditation. And it's super important to me to share it with others as well.
Yes, I've seen you painting, and I've seen you doing yoga, and you actually have a little yoga process of your own. And what is that called?
My process is called The Miracle Combinations, and it's in a book that is available. The book's called No Teaching Yoga, The Authentic Guide. And this process includes emphasis on the way one stands, connects to the earth and the breath. And also mudras, the way one positions the hands to call in specific energies. I also, one major, major important teacher in my life was Yuji Krishnamurti, and I traveled with him, which was really special and unique opportunity, the last 5 years of his life. And this has really influenced my yoga practice, as well as the name of the book, No Teaching Yoga, because he would always say, there's nothing to teach. You already know yoga, and so don't go searching for it. Just be in that state. Be yourself, which is kind of hard for some of us to do.
Why? Why could we? Should we do simple? We want something with 144 steps.
Yeah.
You know, and the mind keeps saying there's got to be more out there, and there is more out there. But what happens is when you go deeply inside of yourself, you find out how simple things are, and like you're beautiful. I watched you do yoga. You're beautiful. Your movements, your energy, you're white, and you're so deeply grounded that I have been amazed to watch you. And like you chose to spend a lot of time with teachers, and there's something to be said for that, of course, for the travelers who have had time to do that. There's something to be said about spending a long time with a teacher. Number one, you see that they're human. And number two, you get a whole bunch of stuff that the students usually don't get. And you being with UT for the last 5 years must have been incredibly intense, and it must have been a lot of work, correct?
It certainly was. Yeah, I burned constantly. There would be, he would constantly back me into a corner so I would look at some little shadow, or rather large shadow, that I tried to hide from myself and the entire world, and which took huge amounts of energy to do that. And he would love to show me these dark corners of myself. And as soon as I would see it and acknowledge it, he would immediately back me into another corner to look at another creepy, crawly aspect of myself.
Oh, my teacher Esperanza had something I called the look.
Oh,
and when my stuff came up, she just looked at me. And I just, it was like this look that I would stop breathing. I'd stand there. And I don't know whether I was scared or happy that the stuff was coming out. I think it was a little bit of both. And whatever was going on, I better finish that process, integrate that process, because I didn't want the teaching. I didn't want to be backed up in that creepy crawler corner. I wanted it out of myself. You know, for her and for me. So that look scared me. And in a period of 3 years when I was with her, that look must have scared me 100,000 times. And it's really interesting when you become aligned with someone. Like even if you marry someone or you become spiritually entwined with someone, there's this look. And this look tells the whole history of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and conscious moments are exchanged without words. Mm-hmm. So pay attention, people, when you get the look or when you get back into a corner where all your creepy crawly stuff comes up, it's because you're getting a great, great teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, art is an expression of energy. In your painting, in your moving, in your choosing of colors, and in your yantras with these repetitive patterns that look the same but feel differently?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Sure.
What kind of state do you get with this when you're working with your yantras?
The state is very, very simple and kind of a no-mind state almost, and it's actually completely blissful, and I love being in that state, and lots of ideas float in, and I can hear my guides, and it's beautiful. When I was really, really young, I would doodle spirals, and this kind of manifested into major pieces of artwork that I would spend months and months on, and just would be a spiral. And it's like, well, why am I doing a spiral? You know, it's like, well, it makes sense. It's, you know, energy moves. We are made up of spirals. So I was just kind of feeling and taking it from the unmanifested to the manifested form. And people love to look at spirals because they see themselves in those spirals, which makes completely sense. It's comforting. We love to see pattern and shape, and they also give us information about how we should proceed in our lives. Like I surround myself with mandalas or yantras, and they help me. They're my teachers, and it's a fantastic practice. It's a yoga practice. Yantra or mandalas. In the Tantra tradition, they call them yantras, as in mantra. It's a visual mantra as opposed to a sound tool. It's a visual tool that helps you concentrate. But also, a lot of people aren't familiar with the word yantra. They know mandala, and it's a similar thing.
Well, where can we see some of your artwork? Do you have a website?
I do. It's www.melissaforbes.net, And I also am having two mandala shows coming up in New York. One is opening in at the Way Back Gallery, March 28th, in Troy, New York. And then I have another show opening May 23rd in New York City at Affirmation Arts, which is an absolutely gorgeous space. And I saw you're going to be in New York City, Star. You're going to.
I am not.
Oh, you're not? Oh.
No.
Oh, so sorry.
I just had this huge 75th birthday party with people here from 10 countries and 24 different states, and it went on for 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you're
there was
so
a big
loved.
Costume ball, come as your favorite star. And, I mean, I'm still recovering from that.
Oh.
I'm also working on my publisher insisted that at 75 you start working on your autobiography. It's a must. So I've been working on my autobiography, and like I said to my publishers, the names are changed to protect the guilty, because I got several client stories in here and healing stories in here that are like, oh, my God, you know. So it ranges from the times with my teachers to the times with patients and apprentices and students. So it's been very healing for me to write it. It's been very, very – and, you know, I caught little edges – when I went through parts of my life, a little pieces that I thought I had handled, but I haven't. So I got a list of things to work on while I was writing on it. I didn't expect that.
Wow,
you know, but
lucky you. I'm looking forward to that book. I know when I wrote my book, originally, Yuji, when I first came to him in Switzerland, he said, you're going to write a book. And I kind of looked at him like he was mad because I was an artist. I wasn't a writer, and it certainly helped me a lot to integrate the lessons and just kind of the craziness that was going on those 5 years I was traveling with him. But I still have a lot to learn from that time with him. But your book will be fantastic. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Well, I loved your book, and I remember something about you. You invented something. Now, what was that, a yoga mat? Tell us a little bit about that.
A yoga mat? Oh, I think you have it confused with another young woman that was...
Oh, I do.
Was there. We were there at the same time.
Well, I thought that for some reason you would have invented the type of yoga mat, but I guess my memory at 75 years old is shifting through things. Now, talk to me. What was one of those moments where you had this greatest spiritual insight or you got this aha? And tell us about a moment that was really with you in your spiritual path.
I think a really important moment was when I realized I had to be a little bit more tolerant, and it was mostly of myself, because I have a tendency to be really hard on myself, and I always thought, oh, that meant of other people. And then I realized, oh, no, it's really towards myself. It's just loving myself, being much more gentle and kind to myself, and know that I'm doing my best at all times. And when I remember that, things just go a little bit smoother for me, which is really good for me to remember at all times.
But I also understand you teach art all over the world. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just came back from Saudi Arabia. I'm a professor, adjunct professor, and it's been fantastic teaching this group of young women in the Middle East, very revealing, and I've been studying Sufism as well, which has really helped me to understand the culture and the religion and the religious practices that are quite prominent in this country. It's very important that you pray 5 times a day, and it's not, people pray in different ways here, but there it's very organized and very beautiful to be witnessing and to hear. And it was a great privilege to go so many times. So my girls are graduating now in May, and I look forward to my next teaching job.
You know, I think for some people, because they're always putting off their prayer, their meditation, their yoga, I think for some people, having a structure is very, very important. And whether it be 3 times or 5 times or twice a day, I imagine if all your friends did it at the same time. I mean, how powerful is that?
Yeah, incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good to have a routine and not to be so crazy about it that it's really tight and restricted, but just so that you know that you stop and you turn and think of spirit or God or however, whatever your belief is, and take a moment out of the day at least once to turn away from just the mundane and to connect to the divine.
I think it's pretty funny. Sometimes when I talk to people's spirit guides and their angels, they're like, they have answers from people's questions 25 years ago, and the people have never slowed down to listen. So they got like 25, they've asked spirit, you know, 25 years worth of questions, and the spirit guides are still holding on to that answer that they asked when they were 3 years old, you know.
Right.
And the person hasn't meditated or slowed down to listen to the answers. So sometimes we ask things and we don't get the answer right away. We have to listen for the answer. And some people have a lot of listening to do because they're asking Spirit God and for many things. And I believe that if you say, I want a new car, that's a prayer. And if you say, I want help, that's a prayer. Whatever you say, whatever you think is a prayer and a question that God, your angels, and your spirit guides address when you slow down. You know,
yeah, that's so important in our culture. We're zooming along 100 miles an hour. But when you, that's a great point, asking the question and actually listening. I had that experience recently and where there's a voice and it answers me all the time. As long as I don't question it or wonder what that voice is, then it gives me the answer right away. And it's so good to remember that it's available and it's coming to us. But slowing down is super important. That's another reason why I like a yoga practice, whatever type one decides to get involved with, either drawing or painting or asana or pranayama or walking in the woods. It's a great practice to slow down, definitely, without your cell phone in your hand.
Oh, my God. Isn't that just so amazing? I went to lunch with some people, and they were talking, and they were all talking and working on their cell phones, and I realized, oh, they're answering questions. They're sitting across the table, and these people weren't talking, and they were talking about the conversation that we were having at the table.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, my God, put it down, for God's sakes. And I believe it is so wonderful to be connected any place in the whole world with anybody I want with a piece of electronic equipment.
Mm.
But I also know that a real important part of being spiritual, being conscious and learning is integrating.
Mm.
And you can't integrate if you hit your Facebook 500 times in a day and Instagram and you're you're texting people, you know. I've watched these little kids have 6-7 people that they're talking to at once. Maybe not so little, maybe 19 or 17, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's wonderful to be connected, and all that connectedness pays off when you integrate it, and you integrate it in any type of yoga that you have. So I'm going to ask you another spiritual question. What was your greatest spiritual upset? What you said, you know, you had to be more considerate to yourself and kind to yourself is your greatest lesson. What was your greatest spiritual upset?
Upset? How do you mean upset?
I mean, like, you know that things are working out well, and you think things are this way and that way, and all of a sudden, boom, you learn that things are another way.
Oh, boy. I wonder what that would be. Probably making plans, and I mean, I think it happens a lot. I make plans, and they don't turn out, and it's like, oh, okay. I overthought that, and I overthought it again, and I replanned it again, and it doesn't turn out. And then I realize, oh, I just thought so much, way too much about what I was going to do. It's just let it flow out. That's a reoccurring lesson, I'm afraid, though.
For me, the reoccurring lesson is judgment. When I was in my 40s and 50s, I used to see somebody on the street and they'd have a sign and they'd say, need food, we'll work for food, or have a cup out, and I used to judge them. I'd look at their aura and I'd say, oh, well, that person's an alcoholic. Oh, that person really needs money. That person is... And I noticed what happened in my 60s. I had an upset. When I thought somebody was one way, and then I started talking to them, and I discovered that it was a whole other, different way, I just look at people, and I just send them healing. I don't even have that judgment part in me anymore. And for me, that was the greatest upset, because I thought that I had to pick things apart, that I had to understand whether I needed to give love or give healing. I needed to understand something about that person. And my upset was, oh, my God, you don't need to understand. You just give everybody healing. If they're on the street with a sign, if they're limping, you just give them healing. You don't look for an explanation. You don't look for a reason. And I think I got that when I was 60. I was like, oh, my God, how come I didn't get this 20 years ago? You know, but I'm very happy to get it. And sometimes we do have spiritual upsets, and it's we're one way, and what happens is when we get that way that the rules change and you move to a new vibrational level, and what worked for you before no longer works for you. And so I think that that's a very, very good thing to have, is some spiritual upsets in your life. Because that tells that you jump levels.
That's beautiful. I know one thing I noticed with judgment was I always thought, oh, no, I can't be judging other people. But then when I realized that I was actually judging myself more than I was other people, and it was such a realization that I was continually judging myself, and it was just so harsh, and that was a huge realization for me.
Well, you know, most healers and most artists and most people who are very sensitive, they give everybody else a second chance or a third chance out there, but they're not going to give themselves an inch in their own progress. And they're very unforgiving to their own mistakes and very forgiving to the mistakes of others. So please remember, people, you have to treat yourself as well as you treat the other people out there. That's kind of really important. And that's a big, big part of separation. And the separation we feel is giving somebody a second chance and not giving our own self a second chance, or criticizing somebody and not looking at our own stuff. You know, either pole of that is in your spiritual growth. Pay attention.
Mm.
So, you know, you've been at this spiritual path now for 30 or 40 years. What else have you learned that's been very important to you?
To keep on trying, to know that I'm doing the best I can, and to just try again, and that my failures are actually a way to learn, and not to allow them to slow me down, but to move forward, to just gather the data and correct myself and try again.
Well, that's very good advice for most of us, and pay attention, people. You know, keep going, and, you know, when you're done, you're dead. If you're not dead, you still got more work to do on this planet. So you're not done. Get that. It's important we get that, no matter how what type of physical state, monetary state, spiritual state we think or we know we were in. You're not done. You're not done yet. Mm-hmm. So I am looking at some of your yantras, and they're so beautiful online, the planets and the muses and the guys. Tell me a little bit more about the asteroids. And that they're so spectacularly in different alignments than your other mandalas. Tell me about the asteroids.
I started channeling those before 2012 because I thought it was important to bring more of the feminine onto the planet Earth. And I chose the major asteroids in the sky, and then I moved. There's so many. There's over 2,000
asteroids. Oh, my
God. And so I had to kind of pick out categories, and I chose some that were really prominent in my astrology chart, and that because I just wanted to understand myself better, actually. And then I went to doing all the muses and then the graces, and it's been a very, very beautiful process for me. I've really enjoyed doing them. But now lately I've been going back to the Hindu gods and goddesses. I just finished Hanuman.
Hanuman is beautiful. You know, his teacher told Hanuman, I'm dying, go out in this mountain and get me these special herbs. When Hanuman got to the mountain, he forgot what herbs his teacher asked him. So he hooked the whole mountain to his back and dragged it back to his teacher. I mean, now that's pretty persevering, you know.
He was a great shapeshifter. He's such a talented, so powerful and great warrior. And Hanuman came so easily for me, actually. It was very, I did him in Saudi Arabia. But since my return, I've been working on Mercury.
And Mercury's been retrograde, too. You know, what I'm seeing is when you paint each one of these, that what happens is, like, you integrate their energy. Because these mandalas are so complicated and everything. So that's the way that you personally integrate it. And you give us an opportunity to integrate these energies by looking at them.
Yes. There's many too. There's so many. That's why it's great to look at them online. Of course, there's a few, but I would like to eventually publish a book of all the mandalas I've done. But in time.
Okay, well, just let's take a deep breath and just notice that we're coming up to the half-hour mark of our show. And we'll be...
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Melissa and I will be taking your call at 646-716-9663. And Mark, let us know when we have a caller, please.
Okay, you guys ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, hold on, Marilyn. Melissa, actually, right? Hold on, Melissa and Star, and we're bringing in Mary on. Mary, you're on.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be first.
Hi, what's your question, Mary?
Yes, I'd like to know when you see me selling my home and if it will go pretty quickly and where I'd be going after that.
Okay, give me the numbers in your address, but not the name of the street, please.
Do I have to have them in exact order or not?
Yeah, give them to me in exact order.
2731.
Okay, tell me what is the improvement that needs to be done on the house before you feel like it could be fully acceptable on the market?
I am not aware of this time that anything needs anything big unless it was some little, you know, small things that a buyer might prefer.
Okay, and talk to me about color. What color, is the color pleasing to everybody or is this just your colors on this house?
Inside or out?
Inside.
I have basic white, which most people can do whatever with.
Okay. I will say your house will sell. Is it on the market?
It's been for a couple months, yes.
Okay. I will say that your house will sell before September. September 7th, you will either have the contract or the house will be sold by then. My guides and angels are looking at the house right now, and they said, oh, my God, there's a lot of white inside. Can you put some colored accents in there?
Oh, I have it. Yeah, a lot of colorful decorations.
Well, can you put some other color accents on the walls or someplace in the house? And they would love that. Melissa, what do you feel about this?
Yeah, I can see the there are some bright colors there. I would add some green.
I have quite a bit of green, actually.
Well, green is the color of cash. That's always a good color, isn't it?
Quite a bit of green. I have plants. I have a green couch. I have a green lamp. I have a green here, there,
and everywhere. No, sweetie. What we're getting at is if you took all your stuff out, and that's how the person's going to look at it, when they take all their stuff out, like if there wasn't a baseboard or something a different color, then sometimes when it's that white, they can't picture themselves in there. So add just a little bit of color to the walls, to a doorway or something, and that's the last energy that you need to do to sell this house.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Do you feel anything about a legal matter that's involved right now?
Is there a lien on the house?
Well, I've sought some legal help about it to have it taken care of at the time of the sale.
Take care of it on the sale.
It will be okay to do that?
It will be okay to do that, but make sure you take care of the details, darling.
I'm doing that presently. I went today for some legal advice.
Okay, take care of the details and have that debt, question mark, paid off when the house is sold. So when the person, it's an easy process to do. And September, it's September for you, darling, okay?
But not before then, huh?
Well, you know, September may be the first day they move in. September, guides are not really too accurate around this. It may be the day you get the offer. It may be the first day they move in. But, yes, around that time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Someone else, Mark?
Yeah. I what I do is I normally mute the mic while you're on, and I have to unmute it. Let me go ahead and switch this around. All right. We're going to go ahead and bring Jill on. Jill, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie. What's your question?
I don't know. I'm a single mom. I'm all alone. I don't have a family that cares about me. It's always one thing after another. Yesterday, my tooth broke, and then it was my tires, and then my basement is leaking. Now I have a person who I thought was my friend giving me a hard time when she shouldn't be, and this has been going on for years.
Okay, when you have a hole in your aura, let's say, for example, that I had something horrific happen to me. A grandparent died when I was a child, and I never grieved my grandparent, or I never healed something. So I have this hole in my aura because I have repressed it. I haven't dealt with it. So what happens is, with this big hole in my aura, every time something happens, it happens to people who have holes in their aura because the thing has a place to set itself, to root itself. So you get $1,000 saved and your refrigerator breaks. So you get $300 saved and you chip your tooth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a constant a bombardment of unlucky events that, you know, two of these events would happen to a person in their lifetime with a full aura. You need to find out what that hole is in your aura, how you need to heal it, and to get that healed. Because
can you pick up on what it is?
I believe it. You are not talking to your parents right now, correct?
They're both gone.
Okay. Did you grieve them?
You know, I think because I was present when they were dying, I was with my father when he was dying, I think more of my difficulties are with my two older sisters, who are just, I'm Cinderella, and they're my wicked stepsisters.
Okay, see, you live in that it's storybook life where you probably took the burden of responsibility, but
yes,
you didn't do the grief work. I suggest you buy a book on grief. Call me for an appointment, either one, and we can do some grieving here. Grieving will leave a hole in your aura that is bigger and bigger. A lot of times people with those type of hole in their auras have a lot of bad luck, or they become a hoarder, or they become addicted. So get some grief work done. Look it up on the internet. Push comes to shove, call me, and I'll send you an email with some grief work that I think can work for you. Melissa, was there anything you'd like to say?
Thank you.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm ready for another one.
All righty, let's go ahead and switch that one over. And we have Steve from New York.
Hey, Star.
Hi, Stig. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm celebrating. I've been 65 for a week. My God.
Wow, 65. That's a great age. You should be all wise by now. Are you wise by now?
I'm working on it.
How's your acting career coming?
Well, it's interesting. I did an audition in front of my acting coach's agent. He's like the third time he's seen me. I've been auditioning and stuff. I feel like he'll never get me. It's like tonight I did such emotionally committed work. And he even said that I always have a great authenticity, and somehow I felt he didn't get it. So there'll be someone else. That's all.
Okay, sweetie, remember to work on your attachment, because right now I feel you're very attached to getting a part versus being an actor. And if you get more attached to getting a part, then you stop being an actor.
No, I realize. I just would like help with one thing.
Okay.
That my new lease should be coming this either the end of this week or the end of for my apartment at the or the beginning of next week. I just want some energy that it'll arrive promptly. And
I will work on that. We've worked on that for 20 years now, and it's worked every year. So
yes,
we got it for you. Thank
you. I love you, sweetheart.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Melissa, you remember Stig, right?
Yes, definitely.
All right, Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi, Star. Hi, Melissa. I was just wondering what you could tell me that Spirit wants to share with me, important for me to know now.
Lynn, Spirit wants you to know that a lot of your work is unconscious work, that you work in very high levels, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when you feel like you're not doing anything, you're integrating. It is very difficult for you to see physical movement on what you're working on. It's very difficult for you to get acknowledgement for what you're working on. Keep working, keep doing the energy, keep praying, and you will get all that you need and some of what you want.
Okay, thank you. That's great.
Melissa, anything?
Yeah, I would suggest going for a regular walk to help integrate what you're working on.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I mean, the weather's been a little prohibitive with the cold up here, but I do walk every day.
Yeah, it's important.
Okay, we love you, Lynn. Thank you.
Same here. Thank you.
Okay, Sherry, you're on.
Well, good evening, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, sweetie. What is your question?
I was hoping that you could help me understand a dream I had recently.
Okay, give it to me, baby.
In the dream, I know my father was nearby, but I don't remember directly interacting with him. But I know he was there. And he passed a couple of years ago. But in the dream, a snake head started emerging just above my right breast. And as it came out and I began to pull the snake from my body, instead of like a 5 or 6 foot snake body, which I would have expected from the size of the beginning of it, I wound up holding a snake head with a dinosaur body on it.
And is that how it ended?
I woke up after that, because I was standing there holding this thing. Well, I need to find out what this is, and then I woke up.
Well, okay, so let me tell you. A snake is metamorphosis. And when a snake sheds its skin, it grows. And a snake is represented in most healing arts in the caduceus and is a magnificent symbol of healing. Now, I believe the butt of the dinosaur, the back end of the dinosaur was there because whatever wound that was healed in your heart was ancient and old to you, probably from a young child because your father was there, and maybe even from a past life. The dinosaur represents our history, the past, and the snake is really important in healing work. So what is happening is your heart is having or just had a tremendous healing, and it may or may not include your dad. He may have been a guardian there of it, or he may have been a part of what you're healing from. Do you get this?
I do get this. I lean towards dad was there helping me through it. The last time I had a dream where I extracted something from my body, within 4 or 5 months, I was taking a divine intervention class. So, and my grandpa, my grandfather was there.
Baby, look forward. There's something big. There's something beautiful. It's a class. It's an insight. It's a way of life that's probably usually within 90 days of having a dream like this.
Okay.
Well, really, 3 times 28. So within that many days of having a dream like this. Melissa, is there anything you'd like to say?
No.
No.
No?
No. Okay. Anything else going on, sweetie?
I just completed my EMT certification.
Okay.
And, I haven't slowed down enough from getting through class yet to really hear how I should apply it.
Have you been in class?
Class started in August, and I took and passed my final test last Thursday.
I suggest you give yourself 28 days to integrate. Before you say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, you're tired. You've expended a lot of energy in this. Your schedule's been all thrown out and created new by doing this. Give yourself an integration break and then make that decision, okay?
Okay.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Mark, and I have a question for Melissa. Melissa, what kind of guidance do you have for me?
I would suggest that you have more of a regular practice.
Well, I was doing some yoga. My meditation has been spotty, and it's kind of interesting because meditation normally comes very easy to me, but it's almost like there's a block or something that's keeping me from just sitting down and actually doing something on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps your meditation shouldn't be just sitting. It could be a different form.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, for me, there were times in my life where I actually had to set an alarm clock or set a buzzer and be really disciplined with myself that at that moment I go and do my prayers, my meditation, because there was so much going on in me that space that I needed, I couldn't even see it. I had to do three more things, or I tried to do it, and the things that I needed to do were too much there. But after the third or fourth day of being totally annoyed at myself for setting an alarm, I started back again into this. And lapses of meditation happen in everybody's process. But most spiritual people pick it up sooner than later again, whether it's walking, whether it's painting, whether it's meditating. So discipline yourself, pay attention, and know that for 3 or 4 days you'll be angry at yourself for interrupting your busyness with meditation. And once you get past that, you can have it back again.
Okay. Well, I think what's going on right now is very interesting because it's a good example of a pattern I have, and that is when my life gets to be the hardest, the darkest nights of the soul kind of thing, when I should be, like, the most important time when I should be meditating, I find that when life gets tough, I don't meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've also recently moved, and any time we move 100 miles from where we are, the earth grid changes underneath us. So then we respond to things differently, or things become lighter, or things become more intense. And I feel, how many times this last year have you moved, like, four?
Five.
I feel that you have to really integrate the land, the place you are in, and decide whether this is a place where you're going to be more intense, where the energy is rolling more than usual, or this is place is for you to lay back and learn, for you to lay back and integrate, for you to get a different view. You need to be observant enough to know why are you on this very specific piece of an earth grid? And once you figure that out, then doing your meditation, doing your prayers, doing your work becomes easy, because you can attach it to what is happening to you with that earth grid, not necessarily understanding why, but understanding I'm moving faster, this is more intense, this is deeper, this is slower. Pay attention to how your body reacts to the earth there. And that's the most important thing that I learned living in 13 different countries, is that, yeah, that star is a different aspect of her diamond. You know, when I'm 1,000 miles away on a geographical grid than I was 500 miles away or, you know, 2,000 miles away, pay attention to that.
And yeah, if you're in a new location, you might want to take a moment to just decide what your practices will be and how much time you'll give to them and what time of day suits you. And just be very consistent in that and not deviate. And then once you get that going, you'll just become quite comfortable with that routine, and it'll just be natural,
okay,
whatever you may decide to have as your practice. Because there's so many to choose from.
And it's, you know, it's, it seems to me you have a lot of distractions that you don't need.
Mm.
Now, what are all these distractions? Are they
Right now it's just trying to figure out how I'm going to survive for the next 4 days, because I'm in a life crisis right now. So I don't know if you would call that a distraction, but
consider that a major lesson. You know, how are you going to survive? And are you talking physically or shelter-wise or what?
Both.
Okay. And you're in Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Florida right now.
Okay. Take a deep breath, and everybody listening out there, give some prayers towards Mark.
Thank you.
And so he gets the healing, so he gets wisdom, so he gets shelter, and gets his answers to why this is, and that's good. I feel those prayers coming. Great.
Mm.
And Mark,
yeah,
pay attention.
My whole back is warm.
Pay attention. Spirit is wanting to get some information to you about yourself, and all these things have to be taken away so you pay attention to what this information is.
Mm.
And I have a cool story I tell. I was in the late 60s. I spent 2 years hitchhiking through South America. I don't remember whether it was 5 pesos or $5 or whatever it was. I think I was in Peru, and I saw a woman with a deformed arm, and then I looked at her baby she was carrying, and her baby had the same deformed arm. So I gave her my last $5, 5 pesos. I sat down on this park bench going, my God, how are you going to eat? How are you going to sleep? Well, was that a stupid thing to do? And back in those days, glasses were like the bottoms of Coke bottles. And there was this little nerdy kid that sat next to me with two big Coke bottle glass eyeglasses on, you know. I mean, black frames, because that was the only frame they came in. Bigger than the kid's whole head, I thought. He says, can I practice my English with you? And it turned out his grandmother had just lost her healer and psychic, and he took me to his grandmother's house, which was a mansion. I stayed with her. She sent me to friends' houses she knew, and for 3 months I ate, I slept, I went to dinner parties, I helped people, and I all believe that it was because I gave away that $5 and sat down on that particular park bench in that city to think about my consequences, to think about the consequences of doing that. So it was really, really interesting. So think about what you did, what the consequences are, and then how you can change it, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, Star.
You're welcome. Melissa, we're in our last few minutes. Is there any spiritual advice you'd like to give our audience?
I think a really important practice is to connect to the sunrise and the sunset. It's given to us freely, and it's such a great moment. And the energy actually changes in our bodies at this time. So it's great to just take a moment and to slow down and tune in to nature. I find it's very, very helpful to slow one down.
I think that's important, and I like watching the weather change.
Mm-hmm.
And I like watching, you know, the gray clouds turn into rain. I like watching the clouds disappear and the sun come through, or that big fluffy cloud that looks like a horse with a human's head or a human with a doggy head go floating over the sun. And I'm just watching how gently and easily Earth handles all of the energy changes in a day, and how much drama I can put around one little energy change in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay attention to that. So pay attention, people, because as above, so below. So what's going on outside of yourself is going on inside of yourself. So if you need a reading, if you need to buy one of my books, go to www.starfuentes.com or masteryourlight.com. You can listen to me talking about all sorts of different things. And I am doing stages where you can watch me a video cast every Monday, and I now am on Patreon, and you can become my patron and give me a dollar every time I put up another article or another film for you to see. I think it's very important that we participate with each other. We are not alone in this world, and we need the feedback of an artist. We need the patience and discipline to do yoga every day. We need confirmation and information from outside of ourselves. You know, many people say we are one, but they only worry about themselves and think their thoughts. Share your love, share your light, share your education with others. And Melissa, for one more time, please tell me, what is your website?
It's www.melissaforbes.net.
Well, Melissa, we're going to be going there to look at your mandalas, and I'm so glad you have that opening at Affirmations Gallery in New York City. And what day is that?
The Affirmations opening is June 6th, and that's in New York City. And I have an opening March 28th at the Wayback Gallery in Troy. And this is also a mandala show, so I hope people can come.
I hope they can come too. And remember that you are the greatest piece of art, that you are the painter, you are the screenwriter. You make your own music, you dance to your own time. And each one of us is present on this planet as art of the soul and the body coming together. Sometimes we're conscious of that, and sometimes we're not. You are magnificent in all of your lights. You are magnificent in your thoughts and your words. You are beautiful and full of light.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.